Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Coming up on today's episode, Melody Grand Prix, UMK, lots more besides, and Eurovision Songs in the Wild.
It's time for the Eurotrip.
The Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes. I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, are you Bella Fist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner, did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, Executive Supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast, with me, Rob.
Me, James.
And this week, and we say it every week, but we truly believe it and we mean it this week, a bumper episode with not one, not two, but three guests to both look back at the weekend's action and to look ahead at another busy weekend in the world of Eurovision, James.
Yes, it was our first Super Saturday of the season, or Stressful Saturday, as I billed it last week, where we had plenty of national selections to keep us busy. One of them, Rob, that was on our TV screens, was Norway.
Yeah, an incredibly entertaining Melody Grand Prix over in Trondheim at the weekend. Maybe a surprise result, maybe not. Gotte winning, beating Kaino, they looked heartbroken, didn't they, to have just missed out. And of course, the big talking point, had the voting system stayed the same as it had been done previously, then Kaino would be representing Norway again. But they are not. We discuss everything that happened with Vivi Stenberg, who was Stig Carlsen's predecessor. So she used to be in charge of Melody Grand Prix over in Norway. She's got lots of thoughts, and you'll hear them all in a bit.
Yes, and then we will look ahead to this coming weekend as UMK in Finland comes to our screens for another one of this season's most hotly anticipated national finals. I'll be chatting first to Susie from Cyan Kicks. They are making their return to the competition. And then I'll also chat to the executive producer of the show itself, Ansi Autio, to get all of his thoughts on this weekend's show.
And we haven't forgotten, we know there's so much more as well. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip.
Yes, Yes, loads to come on this episode. And I know we only mentioned Norway and Finland there. There was so much else that happened at the weekend and so much more to come this coming weekend. We'll cover it all in the news in just a moment. But first, I want to quickly read out this message that we got over on Buy Me A Coffee. You can head over there to support what we do here on the podcast. That's buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip podcast. And we got a lovely message over the weekend from Michael, who said, I've been a Eurovision fan for decades, but only just started devouring the pod, which is a lovely term, I must admit. You can thank your friends at Aerovision for that. The wonderful Lou and Connor, who do the Aerovision podcast. He says, loving your content so far, and as an Irish fan, I've especially loved your coverage of our national selection at the best Irish national final for years, in my opinion. I haven't been this excited in our own entry for such a long time. I'm really excited to hopefully hear Bambi on the pod in the future. Yes, fingers crossed. Keep up the good work and see you guys in Malmö. Thanks, Michael, who bought us 5 coffees. So really, really appreciate it.
The caffeine hit we will get from those virtual 5 coffees, honestly. But yeah, thank you very much, Michael, for that. And also thank you to Connor and Lou on Aerovision, because they was very, very nice about us, and in the same way that I would say that we are also nice about them, because they do a great job. So yeah, lovely stuff
indeed. Yes, I was going to quickly mention something else about Aerovision as well. I know last week we talked about that giveaway on Eurosong. You remember the spa giveaway, and I said, what did they give away the previous year? Well, Lou got in touch, said she'd been listening. Apparently they gave away peanut butter last year, which I don't recall, but fair play. If you're a peanut butter fan, must have been good to be in the audience last year.
Oh, fingers crossed for the butter next year, though, as in just pure butter. That's what I'm hoping for next year. I don't know, what else could they give away? Oh, what's the crisp brand in Ireland? Irish
Tato.
Listeners are good. Tato. Hopefully they give away some Tato crisps next year. James, we've got this far in. We've not said the words. Petra's back.
Petra is back. What a joy. Where were you when you found out that she is going to be returning to the Eurovision stage? It'll be her third time hosting. Where were you?
You'll be pleased to hear that you were the one that broke the news to me, because, and this is very unlike me, I had just been for a run on a Monday morning, and I got back and there were quite a few messages that I'd missed. But the first one that I saw on my phone, you know, when you get a little preview of the message, was just you and those exact words in capital letters, Petra's back. What about you?
Well, funnily enough, I was just sitting at home eating breakfast. I know it was 10 o'clock. I was having a lie-in. I didn't have anywhere to be. And I was sitting eating breakfast, and then my phone went ping. And it was just that alert on my phone with the press release to say that Petra will host Eurovision 2024. Perhaps we weren't necessarily expecting it. We've talked about it here on the podcast quite a few times. Some people were expecting it, a lot weren't, but generally I think everyone is just over the moon.
Yeah, thank you very much to Michael in New York, by the way. Remember Michael in New York? He's still listening, James. Maybe still from the roof terrace. New listeners, Michael is a long-time listener from New York who sometimes listens from his roof terrace. Yes, that is more glamorous than how I listen to the podcast, definitely, and probably most of you listening as well. Michael tweeted us to say, the Apple Podcasts push alert about your bonus Petra episode this morning was the way I found out about this glorious, glorious news. That bonus episode that Michael is talking about, James.
Yes, we brought you that on Monday. So it was a double episode day on Monday. We brought you Melfest Monday, all the reaction to Melody Festival. But then also, we decided to bring out from the vault, from our own archives, the chat that I had with Petra back in the summer of 2021 as part of our Contest and Me series. It was a very rare, exclusive English language interview that Petra did with us. So we decided to bring it out and allow you to hear that maybe again, if you were a long-time listener, or for the very first time if you are brand new round here. So if you haven't listened to that already, make sure you scroll back and have a listen to that in your spare time and let us know what you think of it.
And we have to say, of course, Petra is not hosting Eurovision 2024 alone. She is hosting with Malin Ackerman. I think that's right, James. She is a brilliant... I know that is right, James. I just wasn't sure on the pronunciation.
Yeah, I've not heard it pronounced yet. I think she does it in that sort of English or American way, like Malin Ackerman. But then I was wondering, is it not the Swedish way, like Malin Åkerman? So I'm not entirely sure yet. We'll have to wait.
It'll be like singy-songy, won't it? Malin Ackerman. Marlin Ackerman and Pietro Mirda. If by the way, you want to know how to say Petra's name properly, that's also in James's interview with Petra. So if that's not reason enough to listen, I don't know what is. But yeah, amazing news. Where were you when you heard the news? Do let us know on socials. And that is not the only thing that you have been telling us about on socials over the last few days. Because James, it is now time for a favourite of mine, and a favourite, I think, of yours, and something that we mentioned on last week's podcast, Eurovision Songs in the Wild.
Yes, I think this is definitely your favourite thing we've ever done on the podcast. Never mind all the big names we speak to and bring to you listening. Eurovision Songs in the Wild is arguably Rob's favourite thing we've ever done.
I just love the stories. I just love the stories of where people have heard Eurovision songs. So Eurovision Songs in the Wild is basically, where are the weird places you've heard a Eurovision song that wasn't Eurovision, obviously? And what were they and where were you? Tell us your story. We'd love to hear it. We asked over the weekend for some of yours and you have got in touch in your droves.
Yes, so over on Twitter, at Eurotrip Podcast, Oliver got in touch. I'll bring you this one first, because I think it sounds like it fits, because Oliver heard Rosalind's Snap in Marks and Spencer's, but that song is just so retail, isn't it? You could go into any shop and you would hear a song like that. But a couple more that caught my eye. Val said that they heard Tattoo in a South American barbershop, which is
nice.
Yeah. Really, really nice. One of my favourites from Love... Well, great username, given what we've just talked about. Love, Love, Peace, P1. I don't think you can quite fit Love, Love, Peace, Peace.
Nearly there.
Said, I heard Tonight Again in a Matlan in Bognor Regis.
We did say, didn't we? We said that people like Michael in New York are over there listening to this podcast on their balcony. But we've also managed to mention a Matalan in Bognor Regis, so it's not all glamour on the podcast. A few more. Tom said, Evie Adamu's La La Love in a shopping centre in northern Lithuania. Honestly, nice. the more remote or abstract the location, the better. And on that same theme, Chris said he heard My Slowenny by Cleo and Donatan while at Falkland Farmers, a shop in the Falkland Islands.
As if.
Pete said he heard Stefania in a Home Bargains, stay with the supermarket theme. Rowan said he heard Iceland 2020 on an Australian dash cams video on YouTube. And finally, Kat, you can have the last one. Kat said she heard Australia 2018 at a Chinese buffet restaurant.
Brilliant. Keep them coming. If you've heard a Eurovision song in the wild, do let us know. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can also email us hello@eurotrippodcast.com.
Now that music means one thing. It is time for the very latest news from the world of Eurovision. And James, you have already referred to it as Stressful Saturday, Super Saturday, Busy Saturday, and also Sunday, as it turned out last weekend, as four countries selected their entry for the Eurovision Song Contest. We'll have a bit of a chat about them in just a second, but in order, you are about to hear the entries from, and this is the order in which they were picked. Very, very highly produced, this podcast, let me tell you. Norway, Spain, Malta, and Ukraine.
Got me on loop. Mama, this idea.
4 songs added to the class of 2024. Thoughts?
Yes, generally busy weekend, as you said, and some great national finals, some great variety in those songs. We should name check them, shouldn't we? I don't think we have yet. So it was Gota in Norway who won Melody Grand Prix, Nebulosa in Spain who won Benidorm Fest, then Sarah Bonici in Malta, and then Aliona Aliona and Jerry Heil in Ukraine.
Busy, and I think we've got a mix of probable placings in there. I don't think it's fair for us to say where we think they'll finish, but I think it's safe to say some of them will probably do better than others. And one of them, at least, I think could be towards the top of the leaderboard. Do you think?
I think so, yes.
So very, very busy. And we will attempt to do our best, of course, as ever, to speak to more of the class of 2024 as we get closer to Malmö. So you might hear some of those artists and some of those acts on the pod in the coming months. And then, James, we will, of course, talk about Melody Grand Prix in a bit more detail shortly. But it gets busier this week. San Remo, of course, returns. At the time at which you're listening to this, San Remo has already returned. It kicks off on Tuesday, or kicked off on Tuesday, rather.
Yes, so for San Remo fans, and we know there's a lot of you out there, is probably one of your favourite weeks of the year, isn't it? It's, for me, I've said this plenty of times, it's not a national final I dabble in a huge amount, but I know it's hugely popular. They're probably not even listening to this because they're so engrossed in San Remo already.
Yeah, we will, of course, do our best to bring you reaction to whatever happens in San Remo over the coming days, because there is always gossip, there is always drama, and there is always an excellent winner. So we'll do our best to talk about that on the podcast next week. And also, coming up at the weekend, we will find out who is representing Latvia as well. We've got the final of Supernova. And, James, as well as Melfest Heat number 2, which, of course, you'll be reacting to on next week's episode of Melfest Monday, and have previewed on the latest episode of Melfest Monday, we have got the 5th heat in Lithuania, where I think we see the Roop on stage for the first time this national selection season. Busy. Lots going on. We're going to talk about UMK in a little bit, because that is, as James, you've already said, hotly anticipated. That takes place this Saturday. Anyone, I think, could really take the crown. Some hugely popular artists in that with huge fan bases. But if we throw it back a little while, Melody Grand Prix was on Saturday night. And James, you watched along. And I think, all things considered, you had a lovely time.
I did, yeah. I missed the very beginning, I must admit. But soon caught up. And what a great show. We talked last week about how the production of Luxembourg's national final was sort of on another level, especially compared to what we were expecting. But I must touch on the return of Eurovision winners in national final interval acts, because I feel like we're getting more and more this year than we've ever had before.
Who did we have, honestly? I missed it because I was up in Manchester seeing some friends. So who do we have in MGP?
Well, you'll be pleased to know I've made a list of all the ones I think have performed in national final interval acts so far this year.
Is this on a new spreadsheet, or is this just another tab on your pre-existing mega spreadsheet?
No, it's not even made it to a spreadsheet yet. It's just in my notes app. So just so you know who we've seen so far, at least I think so. Let me know if I've missed any. Vicky Leandros, Anne-Marie David, Bobby Sox, Carola, Katrina, Charlotte Pirelli, Ruslana, Alexander Rybak, Jamala and Kalush Orchestra. So that's across Luxembourg, Ireland, actually, because we saw Kalush Orchestra pop up there, and Melody Grand Prix at the weekend. I don't think I've missed any more from other national finals, but do let me know if I have. I'm keeping a track of them.
Very, very good. Thank you for placing all of that. But of course, we saw the eventual winners of the whole thing representing Norway. Gota, who, James, I saw a stat on social media before we recorded the pod. Since the last time that Norway sent a song to Eurovision in Norwegian, there have been 54 other languages performed at the Eurovision Song Contest.
Right. That is impressive stat. I like it.
Tells you how long it's been since they sent a song in Norwegian. Yeah, not just you that can do the stats. But Gota have won. They'll be representing Norway. Kaino coming incredibly close again and finishing in second place, even closer than when they came second to Tix, of course, back in 2021. But all around a fantastic show. So I thought it was only right that we take a look back at all of the action. And to do that, I have been chatting to Vivi Stenberg. So Vivi is Stig Carson's predecessor. So she was responsible for Melody Grand Prix back in the mid-2010s. She'll tell you about that and what her role was. So she's the perfect person to talk to. We talk all about Norway at Eurovision. We also talk about her thoughts on the winners. And I started by asking for her thoughts on the show itself.
I did watch and I had such a blast. I was supposed to go out. I had totally misbooked a dinner, and luckily the reservations weren't there, so we were able to just say, and I said to my friends, too bad, can we please watch MGP? And so we just rolled in. We were at this friend's house and we rolled in the biggest screen and just ordered pizza and had some bubbles and just ended up having a fantastic time.
That sounds like an incredible Saturday. There's always something special, isn't there, as well, about watching TV like MGP with a group of people. It just makes the whole experience different.
Yeah, it's true. It was weird not being there live. I've seen so many of the MGPs live, but it was a good substitute.
I have given the listeners a little bit of an idea in your introduction, but do you want to do that for us as well? Just tell everybody listening to this how you were involved with MGP in the past.
Yes, I was the head of music for the Norwegian selection for actually only 3 years, but it was between 2013 and 2015. So I was asked by the Norwegian broadcaster, had no idea they would ask me, and I wasn't able to say no, because who would say no to having the chance to be part of such a TV history? And I had worked in music and music journalism for a while, so it was a really fun and all encompassing job for 3 years. And since then, I've been not too much involved. I mean, I've been a colleague of Stig Carson, and I'm good friends with several of the people who work on the production. So I've been following with both professional interest and as a friend.
Well, given all of that, obviously there are loads of questions I want to ask you in our short chat. The next one has to be then, what do you make of the winner? Gotte winning and Norway sending Norwegian to Eurovision for the first time in a long time.
It's about bloody time, isn't it? If I can swear on your show. No, I think it's wonderful. I mean, obviously, having had my first year in the Eurovision bubble with working with Margaret Berger and her I Feed You My Love, I had Margaret's song and her performance was something that I really, really liked. And I love Margaret, and I would have loved to see her on the Eurovision stage again. But I have to say that also Gotte, who I've followed as a music journalist for many, many years, I think it was so much fun to see them on that stage. Back in the days when I was working on another music show, you know, it was something we would never have thought that they would be part of MGP. And it's so cool to see that, you know, their career and MGP's history kind of finally merged. And they did it with a song that was so cool and so visual and so unique. And I'm super stoked to see them on the big stage. I think it was a good winner. Absolutely.
What does it say about MGP's position in the Norwegian music scene, I suppose, then, the fact that a band like Gotte are willing to do Melody Grand Prix when maybe, and you know, feel free to tell me I'm wrong, maybe in the past they wouldn't have done so.
Well, I think you know, it's been MGP, I mean, it goes through different kind of phases and for different artists, and it's always fun to see when artists that you never really envisioned would want to enter that stage comes to a point in their career, or they're just finally realizing how much fun it would be, and they enter the stage. I don't know if it's something that happens now for a reason. I think it's kind of an ebb and a flow, and it happens with certain periods of time that happens. But you know, all stars aligned, and it was just perfect that this was the time for them, I think. So but definitely it's been a work, you know, hard work from Per Sinnes to myself, and now Stig Carlson, who has been working for so many years, and the longevity of his work definitely pays off. You can see that, you know, he's been there for a long time and been able to work with managements and producers and artists, etc. So it always helps to have some longevity in that job, which I didn't, but hey.
one of the biggest changes, and one of the changes that Stig brought in, of course, for this year, was changing the weighting of the voting, which I know is something that he is potentially being keen to see at Eurovision as well, not just MGP. But we saw 60% of the votes, of course, came from the voting public this year, and then 40% from the jury. Had, of course, you know, the system stayed the same as it had previously, Paino would have won, would have represented Norway once again. What do you make of the shift to taking into account more of the public's opinions than the jury's?
I haven't really given that much thought to that. I mean, I like the idea that people get an extra little weight, but I mean, there's so many ifs and buts, etc. So I've never been the one to say, oh, if we only done it this way, then someone else would have won, etc. Now we have Gotha as the winner, and there's no point of looking back. And of course, I'm sure it's heartbreaking for Kaino to be so close. But this was the way it was done this year. So I, you know, in this year of what is it this call this year called 2024 is called the year of democracy, because there's so many elections all around the world. I think it's only fitting that, you know, the people get an extra weight as far as the percentage goes. So I liked it.
Vivi, I've got some kind of viewing figures in front of me, because you know, we've seen, as you were talking about, the music in MGP kind of goes through phases. I mean, if I take your last year in charge of MGP, 1.25 million people tuned in. This year, that was around 843,000. So quite a drop off. Is MGP as popular as it always has been, and people are just viewing it differently, and viewing habits have changed in that time, or has it lost its place as a crown jewel in kind of NRK's schedule?
I don't think it's lost its place at all. I think there's always several reasons why there's some changes in, or not changes, but there's a little difference in the viewing figures. And if you look at my 3 years, I think the first year we had decent figures. The second year we had really low figures because we tried a different model that didn't work, and you know, we tried, and then we went for a third type of competition that, you know, gave us some really high figures. But that was also because we only had one finale. We didn't have the semifinals. So it, you know, we kind of, how do you say it, comprised everything and you know, made it maybe easier for many people to gather around it. So, but of course, linear TV has, since then, that's like what, 8 years ago, linear TV has gone through some really tough changes since then. So to be able to gather 900,000 or almost 900,000 in a country of 5 million, I think that's it's still pretty substantial. and I know that when the Eurovision Song Contest finale is, if we get to the finale, of course we do, we will have great numbers again. We always see that. So I wouldn't be too worried. But of course, it's important that such a huge show, and a costly show, which it is, has a lot of viewers, of course.
Finally then, to Malmö. You mentioned Malmö was, of course, your first year in the role with Margaret Berger. I mean, before we get anywhere else, I mean, have you got any tips? What's it like as a city for anyone who's heading there in May?
It's funny because I hardly remember anything about the city apart from just all the, you know, the fun we had and all the hard work we had at the venue and back and forth from the hotel, etc. But it has a beautiful, remember this, it has a beautiful old city or old town, etc. And it's really nice. And I remember after the finale and after the after party, I was just so starving. And I told the taxi driver, I left by myself, and I told the taxi driver, drive me to where you have the best kebabs in town. And of course, Malmö having a huge Muslim population, he just throw me straight out to the suburbs. And I'm like, okay. So I got the best kebab far from the city, and we went back, and it was a journey to remember.
And was it a kebab to remember?
Yeah, it was a kebab to remember. It was awesome. But I came in my gala dress, and the people there, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're like, what the heck? So I remember that. But it's just, Malmö was a great host city, and it was fun.
And finally then, on Eurovision itself, we've seen Norway have some pretty decent results in the last few years. Of course, Alessandra doing incredibly well, of course, in Liverpool as well. Yep. Got a completely different act, completely different type of music, you know, not comparable in the slightest. But are you still confident that Norway can get themselves a really good result in Malmö?
Yes.
Vivi, thank you so much for joining us on the Eurotrip. It has been brilliant to chat to you, a great insight, and really appreciate it. I'm sure we'll speak to you again.
Likewise. Nice to be here.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Like what you're hearing? Make sure to leave us a review and a rating whenever you're listening.
Welcome back to the Eurotrip podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Tuning in? Do people tune into a podcast? Is that the right term?
Is that a bit retro? Tuning in sounds a bit better than tapping in. Because I suppose technically, what have you done? Have you tapped in? I suppose you probably...
Thanks for pressing play.
You have, yeah. You've pressed play. Yeah. We'll say tuning in. People know what you mean.
Yeah, welcome anyway. And great to welcome Vivi onto the podcast as well. She was a great guest.
Yes, she was fantastic to speak to. Very unique, very uniquely positioned in terms of obviously the role that she did have on Melody Grand Prix. And also lovely to get some Malmö travel tips from her. And I will be seeking out that kebab that she mentioned. Fingers crossed that kebab shop is still in Malmö. What will be, what, 11 years since... VB was there last.
Now then, let's look ahead to this coming weekend. As we mentioned before, UMK, the national final in Finland, hits our screens on Saturday night. There's going to be 7 artists in contention. You might remember we spoke to Jesse Markin a couple of weeks ago. He'll be competing with his song Glow. Well, this week, we are welcoming back Cyan Kicks to the podcast. We last spoke to them in 2022 when they were last in the competition. But this year, they are back with a brand new song called Dancing with the Demons. Now, last week, I caught up with the lead singer, Susie, and this is what happened. Susie from Cyan Kicks, hello and welcome back to the Eurotrip. It's nice to speak to you.
Love to be here. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me. Yes. Here we are again.
We spoke to you 2 years ago. Of course, you did UMK 2 years ago and came so close. Second place it was that time. But it must be great to be back in the competition, right?
It is great to be back. We're super honored to be back. Yeah. Such a powerful song.
Exactly. I remember when I first heard this, it was the first song of UMK that I heard this year, and it was like a punch to the face in a good way. Like, it just hit me so hard. It was so powerful. When did you write the song? Talk us through the songwriting process for Dancing with Demons.
It was a pretty long process. Was it last April or I can't remember when we started it. We were at the studio with Nila, our guitarist and producer, and we were just writing songs for an upcoming album, which will be out early next year. And then we started to, when we started a new song, it was the last song we wrote that day. I mean, what we started today, that day. And I just had this melody in mind, just came from out of nowhere. La, da, da, da. And I said to Neil, like, oh my God, I want the chorus to start like that. Like, what do you think? And he was like, yeah. And then Neil was like, la, da, 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 da. And that has to be the last melody for the chorus. And we were both so hyped, like, yeah, this is going to be the best chorus we've ever made. And then we had already planned this writing session with Elise Root and Sarah Ryan. They are our favorite songwriters. And they're like the group that we like to write together a lot, because we're really good friends and everything. So they came to our studio. It was I can't remember when it was.
You're not good with your dates, are you, Susie? You can't really work out. You need a diary. You need a diary.
I need, because my head is a mess. I can't remember anything. Anyway, they came to our studio and we were like, okay, we have some idea here. Like, we feel that this is going to be really huge, so let's do this. And we started to work with this song. And it only had like few melodies, a few ideas, and all the kind of things. But we didn't have the idea, the story, what the song would be about. And then somehow we started to talk about supernatural experiences. And Elise told her story when she saw a ghost. She saw like really creepy things standing in front of her. And that story was amazing. And that was something that inspired us to, you know, to dive into this kind of a world, ghost, inner demons and everything. And that's how it started to build the song, the story of it.
And you worked with Dan Lancaster recently as well for this. And he's a huge deal, isn't he? He's a big songwriter. He's written for, you know, the likes of Bring Me the Horizon, Muse, and bands like that. Such an honor to work with a guy like him, right?
Oh, yeah. He's a genius. And Dan has mixed our songs. He mixed a couple singles for our latest album, I Never Said Forever. And when we worked with him, I was like, he understands so well what we're doing, you know, our style and everything. So we were thinking while doing this song, like, should we ask Dan to join as a songwriter? And he said yes. And then we went to London to the studio to work with him. And that was amazing.
When did you decide you were going to submit this to UMK? Or was it always going to be submitted for the competition?
Quite early, we didn't have much. I think we had the chorus almost ready when I had the feeling that, okay, this might be it. I mean, no, not even might be it. This is it. Yeah, because it just felt so right. And I always, you know, because after the UMK final 2022, I was thinking that I want to reapply. I want to get us back. And that has been the dream to do that, to make it happen. And I've been only waiting for that right song to come along, because I want to have the feeling. I don't want to look for it. I don't want to make a song for it, because it never works.
And what is it about UMK that makes you want to come back? Of course, it's the song. You have to have the right song. You say that. But what is it about the competition that draws you in? Why do you want to go back?
We want to win, and we want to represent Finland in Eurovision. That's the
big goal, right? That's the big dream.
It is. Yeah, we want to do that. We're not giving up. We're not like, we don't give up easily.
What is it about Eurovision then for you? You know, growing up for you, were you a big fan of watching Eurovision? Were you inspired by certain artists on that stage and thinking, look, when I'm older, I want a piece of that?
I mean, it would be such a great honor to represent Finland. And Eurovision, it's, you know,
I know. We all know.
We all know. It would be just so. It would be a dream come true to represent Finland, and of course, it would help us a lot as well because our goal is to grow as big as possible. So to be able to perform on stage at the Eurovision, that would help us a lot.
So we want a Cyan Kicks world tour. That's what we're dreaming for, right?
That's what we're dreaming of, yeah.
last one for me. It's not long to go until UMK, of course. Can you give us like a sneak peek of what your stage performance is going to look like?
Well, do you remember our show 2 years ago?
Yeah. Is it going to be like supersized?
There will be something similar. Yeah, there will be a connection with our show 2 years ago. It's totally different, but still there is something similar from that. And this time, because 2 years ago, we were, of course, it was just perfect visually. It was stunning. I loved it. But we were also a little bit far away from the audience and far away from each other. We didn't have any connection on the stage. We couldn't, because that was the light thing, how you describe it in English, I don't know, but we couldn't be close to each other. And this, it's the thing that we do a lot of when we play live, that I'm always almost hugging the guys while I'm singing, and I love it. And this time we will be like, there will be a lot of interaction between us, but also with the audience. So we're gonna let the audience really close this time.
Very, very exciting. So it's going to be like a Cyan Kicks performance like you would see on tour. So it's going to be like that, but on our TV screens, which is very, very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Susie, thank you so much for your time and best of luck for UMK real soon.
Thank you so much. We will do our best.
So you've just heard there, James and Susie from Cyan Kicks. And James, I know we try not to be biased here on the podcast, and we've already had Jesse Markin on the pod, but Cyan Kicks' UMK entry has rapidly become one of my most played songs, I would say, over the last couple of weeks since it was released. I've been properly getting into that. I'm a bit of a rock chick, to be honest with you, James. I enjoy that.
You're a rock chick.
Yeah, I can be whatever I want to be, James. It's 2024.
fair play. It's a real earworm. It really, really is. I'm excited to see what that stage performance looks like on Saturday night.
Yeah, me too. But also, as we know, the whole show will be something to look forward to, because UMK over the last few years has become, I was gonna call it Europe's favourite national selection show. And I know you have that title reserved for Melody Festival, and that other people may say that title goes to Sweden's near neighbours over in Finland.
Well, it's become my phrase of the season, hasn't it? It's perhaps one of the most hotly anticipated national finals.
When are you going to start retiring that? I mean, when we're talking about the national final in Moldova, is that still going to be the most hotly anticipated national finals
sure.
of the series?
It's become a bit of a crutch for me. It's just a throwaway comment if I'm struggling for something to say. It's hotly anticipated. Anyway, we are talking about UMK, and we're going to stick on that topic because Anssi Autio is the executive producer of the show, and he has been since he founded it back in 2012. Rob, do you remember the winner?
In 2012, it was in Finnish, and they had an accordion.
Right. This is like a precursor to the 1 second
Did
song,
they?
Isn't it?
Did they? I don't know. I think that's right.
Pernilla Karlsson.
You keep talking and I'm going to search for Pernilla and see whether she had an accordion with her.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm going to get to the point where we hear the interview and then you can chip in. Because since 2012, the format of UMK has changed up quite a bit. We've had plenty of big names. You'll remember Derude, The Rasmus, Sara Aalto as well.
No accordion, by the way. Sorry, I was wrong. Massive violin, no accordion.
Okay. Thanks for chipping in. Well, anyway, as we know from chatting to Susie just there, the 2024 edition is just a matter of days away. And I sat down with Anssi at the end of last week to get to know more about him and his thoughts on the competition. Anssi Autio, welcome to the Eurotrip. How are you?
Well, I'm good. A little bit tired, but that's obvious. And otherwise, I'm pretty good.
Nice to have you here. Yeah, tired is probably the most important word
to executive producers of Eurovision national selection shows. So you're probably not the only one out there who is a little bit tired at this time of year. Is there any room in there for excitement for you? You mentioned you were tired. Surely there's room for the excited emotion as well, is there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, tired and excited. But and it's so nice to have so much audience this time, because we have been in small places, smaller places before. And this year we have, I think, total in 18,000 people for two shows. So that's a lot.
And how do you think it's gotten to the point it is now and the size of it? Is it just Carrier from last year, or is there a lot more to it?
I mean, definitely there is more than that, because I mean, Carrier is a worldwide, at least Europe-wide phenomenon, and it's something that in the whole history of Finnish music business, there hasn't been a song which is sung in Finnish, which is so sort of like big hits in rest of the Europe and even in England, which we've never expected, because I mean, it's in our country, it's like one of those impossible things to reach the chart in the UK.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other Finnish language song that's in the UK charts ever. Yeah. I don't think I can think of any.
Yeah, otherwise it's the UMK. It's not just the Eurovision or Carrier. It's I mean, if you think about the well, Bess and a few others that have been the second places, or Kuuma, which was one of the most played songs in Finnish radio. It's something else. It's like the competition itself.
So focusing on this year then, when are you actually getting artists who are getting in touch with you, or when are you getting in touch with artists for this year? You know, the seven acts you've got this year, for example.
We just call for everyone now. So basically, we're just telling them now that next year is coming pretty soon, and maybe you should get ready to write a song, because the August is the deadline for the songs. And until we hear the songs, we have no one. We usually go like Tapio Hakanen, who is our music director. So he's like, he has to listen all the 400 songs each year, and he has to make like a short list, which is around 40 songs. And after that, we listen them with the juries, and it's hard work, because we have to select only seven songs.
Because now Finland is at a point where it is getting, you know, big names. You know, Cyan Kicks are back. You had the Rasmus a couple of years ago. Carrier, you know, we've seen how big he's become. You are getting these big names come in, but as you say, just because they're a big name, it doesn't mean necessarily you are going to select them. They have to be paired with a great song as well.
Yeah, well, for example, last year we had to let go so many the artists that are the big names in Finland and also internationally big, but they just didn't get the song right. So I think it's the right decision anyway, because if they're not putting much effort for the production or anything, it's really something that they have to understand also, that they really have to take care that the demo version of the song, which we heard only demo versions at that point, that it be good enough for the competition. And for example, Cyan Kicks, they've done so much work.
I spoke to Cyan Kicks recently, Susie, the lead singer, and I said, when did you decide you wanted to come back to UMK? Of course, they were in a couple of years ago. Yeah. And she said, straight after the final. Straight after the final, she decided, we want to come back. That's a compliment to you and your team, right?
Yeah, it is. And we really, really loved the Cyan Kicks on the first round, because they really concentrated on anything. I mean, everything that we told them to do, like a homeworks or anything, they just they performed well. I mean, it was so nice. But also, I think Susanna, she learned so much from the UMK. last time. I think the sort of like stage fright that she had got away and everything. So it was a nice experience for them as well.
How proud are you of the lineup we've got this year then?
Well, I wish we would have had one song more, which I really loved. But it was the, I think it on the ninth place or something.
Oh, really?
And it didn't get in. So I wish that we could have like eight performances. But I'm really glad that we have these seven. Yeah.
I want to ask you more about this other artist. Obviously, you can't tell me what it is or who it is or what the song was, but that shows that kind of level, doesn't it? You know, they were just on the edge of nearly being chosen. Did you almost just change the rules just so you could have one more?
No. We can't do that at that point because almost it's a reality. We don't have enough money to produce seven music videos, seven performances and everything. So it's like it all adds up. Like if we have one more, we should have lots of more money. And it's impossible then.
Can I ask you about Jesse Markin? We spoke to him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he had made a statement on social media, and we asked him about that regarding his participation in Eurovision if he was to win.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is something that you have any thoughts on that you'd be happy to share with us now, because obviously it's a huge statement for him to have made.
Yeah. I mean, Finland is... like a democratic country, we don't force them to go to the Eurovision if they don't want to go, because that would be a crap trip, because if someone would like to perform there, I mean, in the contract wise, we could do that, but we don't want to, because it's up to him, really. And I wish that he would change his mind, but let's see. I don't know, maybe he does.
Yeah, I mean, when we spoke to him, he said, you know, if he was to win, he would still consider it, and he would see what the public had to say as well. Maybe he would change his mind if the public actually wanted him to go as well. But it's worth you saying it's not actually in that contract you signed to take part in UMK that you have to then go to Eurovision, because it's a separate competition, right?
It is, yeah.
And is there some sort of backup plan as well if there was an artist who won and...
Maybe you can guess it, but, you know, I'm not going to tell you yet.
Yeah, I think we could possibly guess it. Yeah, for sure. Focusing on more positive stuff as well, then, just to think about Finland at Eurovision this year. You know, you went to Eurovision last year with Carrier, as we mentioned, second place overall. You won the televote. You won the semi-final as well. It's a high bar that he set last year. A difficult job to try and beat that for whoever goes to Eurovision for Finland.
Yeah, it is. But we always have the same plan. We just want to go to the final. That's our first goal. And then we just want to land as high as we can.
I think I'm surprised to hear that even for you in Finland, qualifying to the final is still that number one goal. Just to, you know, the first goal rather, to... achieve that, and then let's see what happens next. Because I think for a lot of people, they would think, well, Finland have done very well recently. They want to achieve a lot more than just qualifying. Surely they're going to qualify.
I mean, of course we want to win. I mean, that is, but I don't know if that's relevant to say, because it's it depends on so many things that I think if I would say that we want to win, yeah, maybe I say we want to win the Eurovision, yeah. But... we are happy if we go to the final and for the left side of the scoreboard. That's our plan, yeah.
And how much of a role do you play in the Finnish delegation at Eurovision? Are you travelling out to Malmö this year, for example?
Yeah, for sure. But it depends on the year, really. I mean, my job is to make sure that everything goes well, but and for the whole team. But there are other people who take care of the performance, and
you're there just in case.
Maybe you could say that, yeah.
Oh, Antti, thank you so much for your time. I really, really, really appreciate it. I know you're very busy. As much as you won't say you are, I can guarantee you are busy in comparison to a lot of other people. I wish you the very best of luck for UMK, and hopefully a very successful night for Finland at Eurovision as well come May.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Eurotrip,
the world's favorite Eurovision podcast.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
So this is the Eurotrip podcast, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast, and James, a lovely chat there with someone we don't hear from very often, giving us a very interesting insight into UMK. So thank you very much to you, and thank you to Ansi as well, who was chatting to you there.
Yes, it was funny, wasn't it? Because we went from just that high energy that that Susie had from Cyan Kicks to the most laid-back man you've probably ever heard in your life in Ansi. Just those levels of energy were just totally opposite ends of the scale, but it fascinating nonetheless from him.
And I feel like that's recognised as well and represented in the music that you get in UMK, because you've just spoken about two completely different personalities, both Finnish. All very different songs in UMK, as is very often the case, and just kind of reflective of the varying degrees of Finnish society, all represented in the songs we get in UMK.
Yes, indeed. So a great show to look forward to on Saturday night. But shall we end the podcast this week, as we always do, with the 1 second song? And before we go any further, Rob, some admin to go through because of what happened last week and the scandal around the points.
Can I just confirm there's no scandal? I would like to say that this puts to bed that there was no scandal. I said last week I thought the scores were U7, Me6. But we did say, Martin, if you're listening, let us know if we're right. Martin is a long-time listener to the podcast and has been keeping a spreadsheet on the current scores and has been for a long time. Martin has, you'll be pleased to hear, James, been in touch. So,
lovely.
Martin said, "Hi guys, just caught up on the latest show and heard that I've been summoned." You have indeed, Martin. At some point, by the way, each of you listening will be summoned for something, just so you're aware. Martin said,
"It's a community, Rob. It's a community.
It's a community, and sometimes we have to do community service. I just want you all to know that." Martin said, "To be honest, I got slightly behind with the 1 second song scores. Not a good start, but..." He then said he is now caught up and he can happily report that the figures are indeed correct. And James leads 7-6. He says normally by now you would have given out a bonus point and forgotten about it. But this year you're spot on. Keep up the good work, Martin. Thank you, Martin. So James, I can confirm it is U7, Me6. However, this week you have an opportunity to extend your lead.
I do indeed. You've chosen the song this week. So shall we hear it?
Indeed, yeah. For the first time, for James and all of you listening, here is this week's 1 second song.
Well, well, well.
Is that a good well, 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 or a
it's
confident
a great
well, well, well?
Well, well, well. It's one of the best well, well, wells I shall ever well, well, well.
Wow, that is indeed confident. I mean, do you need it one more time?
I don't, but for those who might, let's have it one more time.
Well, seeing as you didn't need it again, but we have just heard it again. For the 4 points on offer, name of the song, artist that was performing the song, country they were representing, and the year that they performed at the Eurovision Song Contest. James, what's the answer?
Well, like I was kind to you last week, you were kind to me this week because you've given me Eurovision winner, specifically Charlotte Pirelli, Take Me to Your Heaven, Sweden 99.
Should I be really mean and say that that wasn't, of course, Charlotte Pirelli's name when she... No?
Shut up, man. Shut up, man. Don't you dare.
Charlotte Nielsen, as she was then. But you can have it. For 4 points, indeed, James, you are correct. It is Charlotte Nielsen with Take Me to Your Heaven, Sweden, 1999.
Shadows dancing slowly on my wall. Moonlight painting silver to the sun.
So then, James, I will say it out loud so we can remember for next week. It is now U11, Me6, so a 5-point lead. Any idea why I chose that as the 1 second song this week?
Was it because of what I thought was a huge omission by NRK in that interval act that they did in Melody Grand Prix at the weekend, where they did this wonderful medley of all the Swedish winners of the Eurovision Song Contest, but then made no reference to Charlotte Pirelli and Take Me to Heaven? They had people
singing all of the other Swedish winners, but did never made reference to Charlotte Pirelli. So was this your way of celebrating her?
That is the easy answer. No, that's not correct. What did Charlotte Pirelli do to Stig Carlson? That's what we need to find out in time for next week's podcast. No, right. So James, this is a long story, and I'm trying to remember now how this logic works. And I think I may have tried to be too clever for my own good. So apologies if any of this is wrong. So what have we spoken about on the podcast this week?
Oh, we're going to elongate the story by me having to try and guess it now. We've talked about Finland and Norway.
Right. So what happened when Finland were in Eurovision in 2010, when the contest was, of course, in Norway?
What happened in 2010? Sweden didn't qualify.
Sweden didn't qualify, but who else didn't qualify?
I don't know.
I mean, Finland is the obvious answer.
Oh, yes, because we also talked about Finland on the pod. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, so Finland didn't qualify. When was the last time Finland didn't qualify?
2019.
Who were they represented by in 2019?
Darude.
Now, we've got there. So,
have we?
Darude is, of course, well known for which song?
Sandstorm.
And he released Sandstorm in...
99?
And the winner of Eurovision in 1999, representing Sweden, was Charlotte Nielsen with that song.
Do you not have a full-time job you meant to put time and energy into rather than trying to come up with that convoluted route you came up with there?
I like to think that everyone listening has really appreciated the hard work and effort that went into that.
Very good. Anyway, a reminder, the points are 11-6 to me.
Yes, congratulations. Well done. Well done to me. I think I deserve a point for the hard work that went into choosing that song. But don't worry, Martin, if you're listening for your spreadsheet, I won't award myself a point because I'm not sure that's allowed. But James, that is it. Another busy, busy show. A busy, busy time in the world of Eurovision. Lots happening, lots going on, and also lots for you to listen to as well. We've already mentioned it, but on top of this episode, of course, if you haven't gone back and listened already, two episodes we gave you on Monday. The first one, of course, was the second episode of this year's series of Melfest Monday, where James is joined by some brilliant guests to preview Melody Festival in heat number 2 and look back at what happened last weekend. So go back and listen to that. And then, of course, you can listen to another dose of James, where we've delved into our archives and pulled out your chat with Petra Merda, of course, when she joined us in 2021. We've called it Petra in her own words, and it is indeed that. She talks about her love of Eurovision and, at the time, how she hoped to one day present Eurovision once again. And, as we now know, in 2024, she will.
Yeah, been a really busy week for us. 4 episodes in a week, actually, if we count Karin Gunnarsson from last Friday. In the space of less than 7 days, 4 episodes. So either you're welcome or apologies from us for giving you so much. But either way, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget you can support everything we do here on the podcast by heading over to buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip podcast. You can keep in touch and up to date with us online as well. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. We are hello@eurotrippodcast.com on the email. You can read all of our exclusive stories on eurotrippodcast.com. And as well, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.
And from me, Rob, it's goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.